Good morning, Your Honor. Jason Anderson, appearing for Marion Rucker and April Miller. I'd like to reserve 2 minutes. There's a number of issues and theories addressed in this appeal. Unless otherwise directed by your questions, I'm going to focus on two. First, the trial court below erred when it entered a summary judgment when there's a contested issue of fact as to whether or not the auction in question was ever announced. And then second, that the trial court below erred when it entered an order for summary judgment when there's a question of material fact as to whether or not Novastar Mortgage was the actual beneficiary under the Deed of Trust Act.
So you don't cheat yourself. Why don't you talk about the second issue first?
Okay. Probably the easiest place to start on that particular issue is that the purported foreclosure occurred in 2007. And then in 2010, Novastar, through its counsels, asked that a corrected deed of trustee deed be recorded that is effectively an acknowledgement of an error. The corrected deed of trust crosses out the beneficiary that was identified in the 2007 trustee deed and instead states that the beneficiary of the deed of trust is Novastar Mortgage Funding Trust, Series 2006-2. There's more to the name. For simplicity, I'll just call it the Funding Trust. During the course of the foreclosure, there had never been any notice that the Funding Trust was the purported beneficiary. The notice of trustee sale identified Novastar Mortgage as the beneficiary. The notice of default, pretty much all of the other required documents that you would normally serve in a case like this. One of the fact that that this corrected deed trustee deed was filed basically constitutes an admission that Quality Loan made a mistake when it issued the original deed. The corrected deed is backdated back to 2007, the date when the foreclosure purportedly occurred. We would contend that this court should extend the holding of the Schroeder case. That's not been in the briefing. It was just recently issued. Because the identification of the beneficiary is, I would submit, one of the prerequisites to a trustee sale. There's a form of the notice that's required to be given to a borrower that identifies, that requires the trustee to identify the beneficiary. Subsequent statutory revisions since 2007 have actually expanded on that requirement and expanded on the legislature's desire that the identity of the beneficiary be clear. I would submit that the purpose of the Deed of Trust Act has been cited to reach three objectives. First, to provide for a less expensive form of seizing property. Second, to provide an opportunity for borrowers to object to the sale. And third, for
Novastar, as I understand it, asserts that it was acting as an agent of the true beneficiary. Was that the case, and can it do that?
No on both counts. On the first part, as to whether or not it was acting as an agent, we've provided the servicing and pooling agreement that was as far as we can tell, the operating contract between Novastar and the funding trust. And in that servicing and pooling agreement, it provides that in any foreclosure sale, that the sale be conducted so in the manner that the deed would be sent, recorded in the name of the funding trust. If Novastar Mortgage was exceeding its authority, it was acting outside of the grant of its authority when it was instead of doing that, pursuing the foreclosure in its own name. Second, we would contend that it's not permissible for an undisclosed agent to be listing itself as a beneficiary in the Deed of Trust Act. The Deed of Trust Act defines the term beneficiary. It provides that a beneficiary is the party with the power to appoint a trustee. Subsequent revisions to the Deed of Trust Act all point to the fact that the identity of the beneficiary is important and should be read back into the statute as it existed in 2007. But all of the references to the term beneficiary in the Deed of Trust Act cannot be enforced if you don't know who the beneficiary is, right? So we have a requirement that a trustee and a beneficiary cannot be the same people. How do you enforce that if you're never going to know who the beneficiary is, if you have an agent who's not disclosing the principal? You have the title problem that arises here. Who the purpose of the act is to clear up title, and what we have here is a corrected trustee deed saying this transfer of title that's 3 years old was wrong. That doesn't permit us to know who to sue. And that doesn't permit the city and the other parties to know who has the responsibility for this land and who is liable if there are problems with the underlying loan and other issues. So we would submit that all of these point to the fact that the Deed of Trust Act identifies requirements to disclose the beneficiary. The only way to ever enforce it is if the actual beneficiary is disclosed. If an agent is acting as an agent, it at least needs to disclose that it's acting as an agent in its proceedings.
May it please the court, my name is Annette Cook and I'm the attorney for the respondent. So this case involves a pretty lengthy procedural history and somewhat complicated history, but the facts are pretty simple in this case as seen from the record. The borrower in this case is Marion Rucker. Mr. Rucker obtained loans from Novastar Mortgage. Thereafter making six payments, he defaulted in his loan. Foreclosure proceedings were initiated. When he did not cure the default, a foreclosure sale was held on June 29th of 2007.
Okay. And on that day, who was the beneficiary?
Novastar Mortgage, Inc.
They were the actual beneficiary?
Well, they were the bidder at the sale, the successful bidder at the sale.
No, I'm not talking about who was the bidder at the sale. I'm talking about when everybody woke up in the morning. Mm-hmm. Before the sale took place, who was the beneficiary?
The Novastar was the beneficiary.
They hadn't conveyed the loan to J.P. Morgan Chase?
If you're referring to the pooling and servicing agreement, that is referenced.
Why is there a pooling and servicing agreement?
Because the loan was securitized.
Well, that's a fancy way of saying it was sold off to somebody else, right? And so the person that it was sold to would be the beneficiary, right? The entity?
The entity.
Okay.
Right.
So was Novastar the owner of that security?
Novastar, in the pooling and servicing agreement, retained its servicing rights.
Well, and so your position, as I understand it from the briefing, is that Novastar was acting as the agent of the true beneficiary. Is that right? Okay.
Yes.
Is a question of fact present on the issue of whether Novastar was an agent when the pooling and servicing agreement provides that the relationship of Novastar to J.P. Morgan Chase and J.P. Morgan Trust was, quote, intended by the parties to be that of an independent contractor and not that of a joint venture partner or agent? If the contract says that Novastar was not an agent, is there a question of fact as to whether Novastar was an agent?
I don't believe so, by the express...
Seriously, with all these people watching you,
you're
telling me that we're a contract that your client entered into says that it was not an agent, that there is not at least a question of fact as to whether your client was an agent? I'm purposefully using only words in English so that we're conveying clear meaning here.
No, I understand. Well, the express terms of the servicing and pooling agreement states that the servicer may exercise this power in its own name. And so that's the authority that they use.
Are you saying that that's other evidence?
Yes.
So that someone looking at this might conclude that based on all of the evidence and other evidence perhaps that your client was in fact the agent? Isn't that what we have trials for? I mean, when you sign a contract that says, I am not an agent, isn't there at least a question of fact as to whether or not you are an agent? And if there's a question of fact, doesn't there need to be a trial?
There could be, yes.
And so wasn't summary judgment improperly granted here when there was a question of fact as to whether Novastar, as an agent, was empowered to exercise the rights that are otherwise possessed only by the beneficiary?
I believe that under the pooling and servicing agreement that they had the authority to pursue the foreclosure in their own name.
Well, the Bain case says that they can do it if they're an agent.
Mm-hmm.
But clearly MERS had a contract with people to do these things.
Right.
But since they weren't the beneficiary, they couldn't do them. The exception that was recognized was that perhaps someone with an agency relation could do them, not just a contractual relationship. But your contract says the relationship is that of an independent contractor. Doesn't that make your client like MERS in the Bain case?
I don't believe so. Our case is distinguishable in Bain's for a couple of reasons. One, in Bain...
Well, let's talk about this reason. In the Bain case, MERS had a contract mm-hmm. with the beneficiaries. In this case, you have a contract with the beneficiaries. In the Bain case, if MERS proved that it was an agent, then it would be able to act. And absent that proof, it would not be able to act. Isn't that the same situation then that Novastar is in? And aren't we back to there's a question of fact as to whether Novastar was an agent because Novastar contracted to say that it was not an agent?
Well, I guess in that specific circumstance, it seems like there could be. But again, under the pooling and servicing agreement, they were able to foreclose in their own name. And
well,
that's an
entirely separate legal question. Okay. That's no different from the folks in the Bain case saying that MERS had a contract, and so MERS had the contractual right to do what it wanted to do what the contract allowed. And the Supreme Court didn't buy that because the statute limits who can do certain things, and in this circumstance, it has to be a beneficiary. And then the Supreme Court said, well, beneficiaries can have agents. We're open to that possibility.
Yes, and in the Bain case also, MERS signed the appointment of successor trustee. In this case, Novastar Mortgage, Inc. signed the appointment of successor trustee. So that's a
Did they have any authority to do that if they weren't the beneficiary?
I believe they did under the pooling and servicing agreement.
The same agreement that says that they're not an agent.
And additionally, well, in this case, the appellants failed to enjoin the trustee sale prior to the trustee sale. So the appellants have cited Frizzell for the proposition that waivers should not be imposed in this case when that case is distinguishable from the facts in our case. And Frizzell, Ms. Frizzell pursued her claims prior to the trustee sale and obtained an order to restrain the sale. In this case, the appellants did not do that when they were aware of their claims at that time. So waivers should be imposed in this case as well. And we are asking the court to affirm the trial court's order granting summary judgment. Thank you.
Did your clients waive by not enjoining the sale?
You can't waive a right that you don't know about and don't have constructive knowledge of.
They knew there was a sale.
They knew there was a sale, but they didn't know that the underlying loan was transferred. They didn't know the relationship between
them. They knew somebody else thought there was a right to a sale, and they were going to conduct a sale. They knew who it was. She contacted them, sat on her rights, and didn't enjoin it.
There are two ways I would address that. First, it was her understanding that there was not going to be a sale and that the sale was canceled and that she went to the courthouse steps and the sale didn't occur. If she was told the sale is not going to occur, then it would be unjust to hold a requirement that she has to file a lawsuit to stop the sale.
It's a question of fact as to whether there was a waiver.
Right.
And the question of whether she relied on that so as not to act would have to be determined at a trial.
That's correct.
And reasonably relied on.
Reasonably relied on.
Right.
He's right over there.
Right.
The smart guy.
Yes. And then finally, the relationship between Novastar and the funding trust is behind a curtain. This is the type of thing where we found out in 2010.
It's not really behind a curtain. Isn't it out there in a contract?
It's in a contract that's not meaningfully accessible to a borrower. There's no notice of a transfer. There's nothing out there that creates a notice that the loan's being transferred. Thank you.